Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. I breathed. She took a deep breath and forced a smile. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm beat. Think I'm going to head on to bed. You mind cleaning up down here? I nodded. Sure, Ma, of course. Light sparkled off the tears in her eyes. Okay. Good night, sweet pea. She slogged towards the stairs. I left the mess for Daddy to clean, since he seemed to conveniently always have a gig the night we settled on decorating. 2 years before, the before.
What's wrong with your mom?
Monday whispered, as we tiptoed up the stairs with slices of pizza and cups of sweet tea. Mom was spread out on the sofa, tucked under a red throw. Her eyes soft and unfocused. She stared at the muted television without even blinking. We scurried to my room, where my bag sat packed by the door for our first Christmas vacation in Georgia.
She lost the baby.
I mumbled.
Dang, again?
Monday covered her mouth with a gasp.
Shit, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that.
I knew she didn't mean it, but the words picked a nerve and tears bubbled up. Ma had four babies up in heaven waiting for her. On earth, all Ma had was me. And some days I wondered if I was enough to quench her longing. Maybe I wasn't good enough. Maybe they wanted a better version of me. A version that could read and write with no problems. Maybe that's why they kept trying and failing. I hated seeing Ma in pain, as much as I hated not being enough for her.
It's okay. Don't cry.
Monday said, rubbing my back. You don't want a bunch of other kids around. Then you gotta share everything with them.
I would share.
I sniffled.
I share things with you.
Monday's face twitched and darkened. It's different, trust me. You're better off without them. Monday climbed out of the tent, pretending her last words didn't make the room turn colder. Anyways, I got something to cheer you up.
Really? What?
A Christmas present.
Are you for real?
Yeah, she laughed. I didn't get a chance to wrap it, but since you're leaving for Georgia tomorrow, I figured I'd give it to you now. She skipped over to her book bag and pulled out two matching journals, one pink and one purple, with a lock and a heart-shaped key. She handed me the purple one, a dizzy grin on her face. Monday had never been able to buy me anything before, and I wanted to be grateful. Instead, I fought the urge not to throw it across the room.
Why'd you do this?
I snapped. You know I'm not good at writing. Monday's grin dropped.
Yeah, but maybe if you practice every day, you can get better. And we're both gonna do it. I'm going to write in one too, see?
She waved the pink journal like a tambourine. Starting New Year's. She didn't see the thorns sticking out of her sweet actions. Not like I did.
Yeah, okay, sure, next year,
I said, throwing the journal on my desk like a piece of hot garbage. Her face fell as she stepped out of my way. Our bubble felt smaller, and not in a good way. I woke up in the morning with an empty space next to me. Monday had left. As expected from the silent treatment I gave her the rest of the night, I flopped, tossed, and turned. I didn't want to fight. I wasn't mad at her. I was mad at myself. Now I wouldn't see her for a whole 7 days. I wouldn't have a chance to apologize. A fit of giggles floated upstairs. I tiptoed to peer over the stair banister at Monday and Ma, hugged up under the red throw. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer on the TV, a smile on Ma's face, and a bowl of cereal in Monday's lap. Ma kissed Monday's temple, pushing her braids behind her ears. She glanced up at me and smiled.
Morning, sweet pea. Come watch the movie.
Monday tensed, peering over as I thumped down the stairs. I sat on the other side of Ma, snuggling under her armpit. Ma grinned and kissed the side of my temple, like she did Mondays.
It's nice to spend the morning with my two girls.
Monday beamed at her and focused back on the movie, passing her half-eaten bowl of cereal in my direction with a smirk, an offer, an apology. I grinned and accepted.
Thanks.
January. Maybe I'm not the best person to talk about the bruises. See, I'd seen a couple on Monday, here and there, but I never gave them much thought. They were always followed by the most practical excuses. I mean, kids bruise. We roughhouse, we jump, we run, we fall, and then we bruise. Sometimes we even scar. So if I did see a bruise or a cut, it meant nothing. Just another star in the sky. I read a report that said there were over 2 dozen scars on Monday's body when they found her. 1 year before, the before. Monday stumbled into homeroom, her legs shaking with every measured step. Morning, Monday, Ms. Valenti said from her desk, checking off her attendance sheet. How was your break? Monday swiped a white tongue across her chapped, trembling lips, books squished into her chest. Ms. Valenti looked up, her face softening. Monday? Everything okay?
I'm fine,
she mumbled, barely audible, before shuffling to a seat next to me. Ms. Valenti stared at her for a long while, studying her the way you would take in a stranger. Monday clutched her desk as if she thought it would be ripped from under her. Her braids were fuzzier than I'd ever seen them, the ends unraveling and dry. Maybe she forgot to oil her scalp before bed, I whispered.
Big news?
You okay? Her bloodshot eyes flickered over, not responding. Ms. Valenti stared at her with a weary eye. She opened her mouth just as the bell rang, then shut it closed. Monday carried on like a zombie, shuffling through the halls, blindly bumping into people, sitting motionless in classes, not even bothering to lift a pencil.
What's wrong?
I pleaded during lunch.
What happened? Did Jacob do something again?
Nothing. No signs of life. Tired of talking to myself, we sat in silence. Her eyes roamed around the palms of her hands, tracing the lines with her pinky, her lunch untouched. Where is this coming from? I wondered. She seemed fine when Grandmama let me call her on Christmas. Was she mad at me? By the end of the day, I bolted for the library. She must be sick, I told myself over and over, soothing my anxious nerves. She'll go home, sleep it off, and we'll be better tomorrow. I wasn't halfway when I noticed a shadow following me on Good Hope Road and stopped short.
What are you doing?
Monday blinked up at me, the most response I'd seen her have all day. Library. But where's August? You're just gonna leave him? She froze, as if I'd said something terrifying, and stuttered through an answer.
He's sick. Mom kept him home.
That would be her answer for weeks. Every time I asked about him, he had some mysterious illness that kept him bedridden. By the end of the month, Monday morphed back into herself, but still dodged any questions about him.
What's up with August?
I asked, on the way to the library, walking over piles of black snow, the icy breeze breaking through my gloves.
He's sick, she said, stuffing her hands in her pockets.
Dang, still? Y'all been to the doctor yet?
Yeah, she said, sniffing her runny nose. And what they say. Monday sucked her teeth. Why do you keep asking about August? He ain't none of your business. The words came out so nasty that they even smelled nasty. Dang, you don't gotta talk to me like that. I just asking. And you keep on asking. I told you he was sick. Why don't you get that? It ain't like I have to read it for you. I froze in the middle of the block. What the hell is wrong with you? I cried. It was just a question. She whipped around to face me. And I already told you, so why you keep asking about him? I guess 'cause he's your brother and I... That's right, he's my brother. He ain't yours. Just because you can't have one of your own, don't mean you gotta be sweating mine. The -2-degree air ripped holes through my lungs as I gasped. Monday winced almost immediately. Shit, Claudia. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. Whatever, I snapped, brushing by her. Fine, whatever. Do your own homework then, she screamed, storming off in the opposite direction. Fine, I will. Our first fight, and I had no idea what I'd done wrong. The before. On Martin Luther King Day, the church hosts its annual soup kitchen, feeding close to 300 people. It's our busiest day of the year, next to Christmas and Easter. Daddy and the men's ministry set up large tables and chairs in the community room, while the teens decorated and handled cleanup. The media ministry manned the DJ equipment, playing gospel hits in between the choir's short performances. Of course, Ma was in charge of the kitchen, and I had no choice but to be one of her sous chefs. Like a big factory with everyone dressed in plastic aprons and gloves, we took our places in the assembly line, seasoning chicken, chopping vegetables, baking rolls, and napkin wrapping utensils. In the past, Monday would come help. She loved cooking next to Ma, and had a knack for keeping the kiddies occupied. Miss Pearl, how's my greens looking? Ma shouted over the busy assembly line, pulling out a pan of chicken. Her hair frizzed from the heat of the hot stoves. We've been at it since dawn, the dining room not scheduled to open for another hour. Almost done. Miss Janet, someone yelled. The rice is done. Great. We just about ready, Ma said, pouring gravy over the chicken. Sweet Pea, watch how thick you cut in them carrots. We don't want them too big and run out. We had enough carrots to feed the entire city. I should know, since I cut them all. Yes, Ma, I mumbled, wiping the sweat off my brow with my sleeve. And smile. These folks got a lot more to mope about than you. The guilt card always wins. I grinned wide enough to show all my teeth. Ooh, chum, don't scare them. Ma shook her head with a smile, wrapping a free arm around my shoulders. Come here. Let me show you something right quick. Ma led me over to the window, looking out into the parking lot. A line had formed, starting from the door, out the gate, and down the street. Folks stood in the freezing cold, in jackets as thick as plastic bags, with clothes that could stand for a few washes. Others were draped in thick gray blankets. Daddy, along with some of the other church members, passed out steaming cups of hot coffee. See that? That could be me and you out there. Some of those families, they're not homeless, but haven't had a proper meal in who knows how long. Think of all the good you're doing these folks. Recognizing some kids from Ed Burrow, mixed in with the adults, my heart sank, picturing Monday standing out there with them. So remember, Sweet Pea, just 'cause someone got a roof, don't make it a home. We don't have everything, but we have a lot to be grateful for. You understand?
Ma squeezed my shoulder, and I squeezed back and nodded.
All right. Ms. Allen, let's wrap up those buns. Keep them nice and warm. Doors are about to open, people.
With the buffet table set, the sternos lit, and the food laid out, Ma gave Daddy the signal. The doors opened, and a stampede rushed into the community room, directly to the buffet. Ma spooned out slices of chicken and ham at the start of the line, while I passed out rolls at the end. Folks were so thankful and happy. Ma talked to just about everybody, striking up a warm conversation and sending blessings. She's never treated anyone different because of where they came from or what they had. Throughout the day, the kitchen crew hustled to replace the empty pans. When I finished with the bread, I walked around, refilling cups of iced tea and coffee. The little kids ran in circles, reminding me of the way August and Tuesday used to play. Thinking of August, I ran upstairs to the nursery, grabbed a handful of broken crayons and a stack of paper from the bin. Clearing off a table, I dropped the supplies and watched as the kids' faces lit up. I drew silly shapes in pen and showed them how to color in the lines. It felt good to make kids laugh again. I know Monday hated how I checked up on August all the time, but if Monday was like a sister, then August was like a brother. I missed them both. I missed that part of my family. Dad stopped by our coloring station, grinning.
Hey, sweet pea. Your mom's looking for you.
Okay. Can you stay with them? Make sure they keep the crayons off the walls and on the table. Teach them how to stay in the lines.
He chuckled.
What makes you think I can stay in the lines?
Yeah, you're right. Just keep to the simple stuff.
I giggled and ran off, slipping behind the buffet.
Yes, Ma?
Relieved, Ma nodded at Ms. Shonda next to her.
Oh, good. Take over for Ms. Shonda. She needs to drive her mother home. And grab that tray out the kitchen, will you?
Here, let me help you,
Ms. Shonda said, and I followed her to the kitchen.
I was watching you out there. It was real nice what you did for those kids.
I shrugged with a grin. Just keeping them busy. Miss Shonda pulled the last tray of chicken out the warmer.
And where's your cousin? You know, the one you used to bring here every MLK day.
Oh, that wasn't my cousin. That was... Is my best friend.
Well, where's she at? She was real good at dealing with the babies.
She's at her dad's, I mean, her aunt's, I said, backpedaling. Because even though that's what everyone had told me, it felt like a lie. A big, fat lie. I rushed back to the buffet next to Ma and took Ms. Shonda's place.
Not too much now, just a nice spoonful, Ma directed me. Don't want to weigh down people's plates.
Luckily, the line began to thin out until there were only a few people left to serve.
Hey, Miss Swaby,
Ma beamed. Miss Swaby, such a stick-thin, fragile old woman. I questioned whether I should weigh her plate down, and if she'd have the strength to carry it.
Hey, Janet, how are you?
She asked. A bright white smile on her smooth, dark-skinned face.
Doing just fine. How about yourself? Haven't seen you since Thanksgiving.
Miss Swaby was one of the church elders who prayed the hardest and loudest during pastor's sermons. She took a long, deep sigh.
Well, I was doing okay, until them eviction notices came around.
Oh no, not you too, Ma gasped. I've been hearing about them.
Yes, ma'am. Been living in Edboro my whole life, and never had no problems. Now they coming around serving everybody. This city has it out bad for us. They've wanted that land for as long as I can remember.
rather throw us all out and start with a clean slate than fix a broken toilet.
Well, what are you going to do?
Pastor is calling an emergency meeting with the city council to see how he can help us.
You'll let me know how I can help too, okay? Ain't right to put folks out their homes like this.
Thanks, Janet. That's real sweet of you.
Miss Swaby said, making her way down the buffet line.
Pray for us in the meantime.
Yes, ma'am. I surely will. Oh, Miss Swaby, quick question for you. Have you seen Monday Charles lately?
The spoon nearly slipped out of my hand and onto the floor.
Miss Swaby stood in front of the greens, thinking hard.
Monday Charles? Oh, Patty's daughter.
Yeah, I think so. Got that crazy blonde hair now, right?
I coughed up air and kept my eyes down, trying not to shed tears in the rice. Ma exhaled, plastering on a fake smile.
No, ma'am. She did that a long time ago. Ain't likely to do it again.
Really? I could have sworn I just saw her yesterday.
The thing about church elders is they have the worst memories. What they say happened yesterday could have happened 3 years ago.
Then, Well, I guess I'm not sure. Ain't that something? And they don't live but a couple of doors down.
Ma winced a smile. That's okay, Miss Swaby. Don't trouble yourself.
I'm sure she's fine. Ain't no one love her babies like Patty.
You're right about that. Thanks anyway.
All right now. Take care.
Ma continued serving, but I could see through her tight smile and worried eyes that she was also busy thinking.
Whew, what a day,
Daddy said, collapsing on the living room sofa. We didn't finish cleaning up until close to 10 at night. Ma turned on the lights in the kitchen, unpacking her seasonings, placing them back in the pantry. A yawn escaped me as I flopped down next to Daddy.
You did good today, sweet pea,
Daddy said, hugging my shoulders.
Thanks, Daddy.
Claudia, don't get too comfortable on that sofa, Ma hollered from the kitchen. Go on upstairs and get ready for school.
Yes, Ma, I sighed.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night, sweet pea,
Daddy said. I'll drop you off in the morning. Exhausted but still on a high from the day, I rushed up to the bathroom. It felt good to be useful for a change, to take my mind off my problems, which seemed so trivial in comparison to everyone else's. Plus, it was fun being around all the little kids, coloring and making up dances. Ma's voice carried upstairs just as I started the water for my bath.
Baby, something don't feel right.
Right about what?
Monday. Lord, Janet, not this again.
I closed the bathroom door, letting the water run, and tiptoed closer to the stairs.
I know. But, baby, we ain't seen her in months. She didn't come by for the holidays or nothing. Seems strange, don't it?
Not to me. Daddy huffed. There are thousands of people in this city that I don't see every day.
That ain't the same thing, and you know it. Don't it feel different around here?
Without her? Different how?
Just quiet, Ma struggled. Like something's missing. We've been so busy with work and Sweet Pea school and stuff.
And that's what we should be focusing on. Sweet pea schooling. This ain't nothing to mess around with. High school, college, that stuff is important. Not what's happening with her little friend.
But it don't make much sense how she done fell off with Sweet Pea like this.
Daddy sighed.
Okay. I didn't want to say this before, but maybe it's time.
Well, say what's on your mind.
People change, Janet, even children.
And maybe, well, maybe she didn't want to be friends with Sweet Pea no more. Maybe they had a falling out or something we don't know about.
Maybe them rumors from last year got to her.
Nah, I can't see that happening.
Those two were thick as thieves.
But it does happen, Janet, especially with little girls. One day they're the best of friends, the next day they're enemies. Y'all know how temperamental y'all women can get.
Oh, really, sir? Ma chuckled.
Baby, you know what I mean. I can't even tell you how many friends my sister Peggy ran through over the years. She played that, and if you don't do this or that, then I'm not your friend. Card more times than I can count.
Ma didn't say anything. I hoped she'd speak up. To tell him how Monday and I were different. We were sisters. But her silence felt like betrayal.
I'm just saying, maybe it's time Sweet Pea made some new friends, Daddy offered. Stop putting all her eggs in one basket. She needs to be more social, instead of staying all cooped up in the house like some old maid. And she's good with people. You should have seen her today. Hostess with the mostess. If Monday were around, I don't think she would have talked to half the people that walked in there today. They'd be in a corner talking in that funny language they made up.
Ma sighed.
I guess you're right. I just never expected this. Not from Monday.
Well, sometimes the people we love the most can hurt us the most.
Claudia's about to be in high school, and she'll need to learn that disappointments are just part of life.
With a weight the size of Daddy's truck strapped to my back, I struggled through school, every class dragging on for miles. By lunchtime, with Ma and Daddy's talk heavy on my mind, I slipped into the large bathroom stall to hide my tears. What if Daddy's right? What if Monday really didn't want to be my friend anymore? But what did I do to her to make her hate me so much? To make her pretend I didn't exist? Or what if that detective's right? Did Monday run away? Did that picture really change us?
Hey, who's that crying in the bathroom like that? A voice barked.
I bit down hard on my tongue to stop the gasping tears, hoping if I just kept quiet, I'd become invisible.
Who's in there?
I recognized Shayla's shrill voice.
I don't know,
Ashley responded. I dried my face as someone moved into the next stall and climbed up to peep into mine.
Oh, it's just Claudia, Ashley said,
rolling her eyes before hopping off the toilet. Shayla sucked her teeth.
What is she in there crying about?
Probably missing her boo thing. Thinking about them doing nasty shit. Heat sizzled off my skin. I stormed out of the stall and ran straight into Shayla. She pushed me back, shaking off her hands.
Whoa, chill! You trippin'. I ain't into girls like that.
Ashley and her other friend snickered.
Whatever,
I hissed, trying to walk around her.
Get the hell out of my way.
Or what? She snapped. What you gonna do? I stepped left, and she stepped with me.
I'm not playing with you.
I stepped right, and she stepped with me.
Dumbass,
she chuckled. So I heard you in TLC now. I jerked back, as if her elbow had pierced right into my stomach. Shayla was the one person in the entire school, the entire world, that I didn't want to know. How the hell did she find out? Her top lip curled up.
Wait a minute. Is that what was really going on? She did your homework and you ate her coochie? Is that why you crying? 'Cause Monday's not around to do your homework no more? 'Cause you too dumb to do it yourself?
The girls stifled their giggles, sounding like squeaky markers on a whiteboard.
Oh, nah, that can't be it. Shayla corrected herself, rolling her neck. 'Cause in that picture, looked like Monday was the one licking your box. All the rage, all the pent-up emotions of the last few months erupted at the mention of the picture. I pulled back a fist and went to strike her, but only hit air as she dodged my pathetic blow. Shayla shoved me so hard, I went flying, hitting my head on the stall door and falling to the floor. The room spun. I tried to stand back up, but she yanked me by the hair and dragged me.
Help!
I screamed, kicking my legs.
Girl, chill,
Ashley said, pulling Shayla's arm.
Stop! She ain't even worth it.
Oh, you gonna try to hit me? Shayla propped me up like a doll, shoving my head toward the nasty toilet bowl. My arm shot out and I gripped onto the sides of the seat, shaking and slipping.
Help! Somebody!
I cried, my face inching closer to the water as she pushed harder against the back of my head. The foul stench of piss mixed with cleaner made my stomach heave.
Shayla, stop! Come on!
Ashley begged, pulling at her. Never had I been so horrified of my own reflection staring back at me in a pool of water.
No,
I whimpered, my voice echoing inside the bowl, my arms trembling under the pressure. Using all my strength, I tried to find the power to fight back when I heard the voice of an angel.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Miss Valenti roared, her heels clicking into a jog. Shayla released me fast. Too fast. My teeth barely missed the edge of the bowl before I fell face first on the tiles. Ms. Valenti slammed open the stall.
Claudia!
She glanced over at Shayla, standing in the corner with a bone-straight expression.
Ms. Valenti, she started it! She pushed me, then tried to hit me!
A moan escaped as I rolled over. Ms. Valenti kneeled by my side, touching the lump growing above my eyebrow. And I winced.
You girls go on to lunch, she ordered. Now!
What about her? Shayla shrieked. I'm taking her to the nurse. She snapped, helping me to my feet.
Ain't you gonna tell the principal? She tried to hit me. Everybody in here saw her.
Ms. Valenti stopped to glare at her. Do you want to get suspended? Do you all want to get suspended? The girls shook their heads, all except Shayla.
But ain't she gonna get in trouble? She hit me first!
Shayla screamed, her foot stomping.
Well, that's what happens when you poke at a beehive for so long. You likely to get stung. Now go to lunch and I don't want to hear nothing else about this.
Angry tears swelled up in Shayla's eyes before she stormed out of the bathroom, the other girls running after her. Miss Valenti helped me to my feet and pulled me out of the stall, checking me over again.
Claudia, did you really hit Shayla?
I swallowed.
No. Well, I tried, but she was talking about me.
Miss Valenti huffed out some air, her face hardening.
I don't want to ever hear about you fighting again. Ever. What if I hadn't walked in here? What if those other girls had jumped in? You could have been seriously hurt.
But they were talking about me in that picture again, I said.
I don't care.
That's no excuse for fighting, she said, and pointed down the hall.
Go down to the nurse's office and get your head checked out, now.
I scurried out of the bathroom, my adrenaline still pumping. I only walked a few feet before noticing the stinging over my eye that made my entire face throb. I entered the nurse's office and stopped short at the front desk.
Hey there, said an unfamiliar pretty young blonde lady standing by a filing cabinet.
Where's Miss Orman?
I blurted out, my head pounding.
Huh, I guess word still hasn't gotten around, huh? She retired during the Christmas break. I'm Miss Moser.
Ms. Moser? I repeated. Her smile dropped as she crossed the room.
Hey, are you okay? Come, let's have a look at you, she said, leading me over to one of the cots. What happened?
I ran into the wall, at Jim.
Oh, wow. Are you dizzy?
A little.
Am I blurry? How many fingers do I have up?
3.
Okay. Let me get you an ice pack while we check you out, she said, grabbing one out the cabinet in the back. She cracked the pack on her thigh to activate the ice beads before wrapping it in sheets of paper towels.
Here you go,
she whispered, gently laying it over my forehead. Do you know if you're allergic to any medications, like aspirin?
I don't think so.
Let me just double-check your file. What's your name, sweetie?
It wasn't planned. The idea didn't really hit me until her name leaked out my mouth. Monday Charles. She nodded and smiled. Nice to meet you, Monday. I can play this off, I thought. People confused us all the time. Ms. Moser stepped behind the desk and opened a file cabinet with the key around her neck. Maybe there's another address or number in her file. An emergency contact. Maybe for her dad or her aunt.
Ah, here you are, she said, pulling out a file. She scanned through Monday's chart, squinting before her mouth dropped. Hold one second, she said, her voice low. Let me close the door. Ms. Moser peered out into the hall and shut the door. Monday, Miss Orman left a note here. Said you may stop by from time to time. Are you okay? The ice pack suddenly felt colder.
Yeah, I'm fine. I just have a little headache.
Worry painted across her face. She twitched nervously.
Is there anything else you want me to take a look at?
Like what?
Any other injuries you may have? That you want me to examine? Any bruises?
Those marks on her back, I thought. And the pack slid out my hand.
No, I'm okay. Just hit my head. Monday, anything we talk about, I promise, will not leave this room. Just like with Ms. Orman.
I'm okay, I said, wincing a smile. But, do you have my dad's number?
Ms. Moser opened Monday's file again, flipping through papers. Why is it so thick?
Sorry, sweetie, she sighed. No one else listed here but your mom. Do you need him?
No.
I was just gonna call him, so my mom doesn't have to take off work to pick me up. But I'm okay. I think I can go back to class now.
She placed a hand on my shoulder, worry in her eyes.
Are you sure? You said you were dizzy a few moments ago.
I sat up, blinking away stars.
Yeah, I'm good.
Well, let me get you some aspirin anyways. Ms. Moser took a generic bottle out the cabinet and filled up a cup at the water cooler.
So, where did Ms. Orman go?
I asked.
She retired in Florida with her daughter,
she said as she handed me the pills and a cup of water.
You still have her number, right?
I popped and swallowed the pills raw.
No, I think I lost it.
But do you happen to have it? The After. Dear Monday, remember last year how a clip of the Group 5 performance Make It on Good Morning America? Now I know why. Ms. Manis's work us hard. She's even added more practices. I don't know if I can keep up. I know what you would say if you were here. So just quit. But I can't quite. Dance is all I got without you.
Claudia, you must fully extend your arms,
Ms. Manis corrected, her voice just a touch above the music pouring out the speakers.
and watch your turnout.
Group 5 performance is the crowd favorite, so we needed to be tight. Even simple head turns had to be in sync. I was used to having Monday to practice with, be the mirror I needed to make myself look flawless, in school and outside it. Without her, my imperfections seemed jarring, like coloring an ocean, carrot orange, rather than cyan.
Okay, ladies, let's take it from the top.
We split up into two lines at the far end of the studio. Megan stood next to me with her hands on her hips, focusing on Ms. Manis's direction, her feet sitting comfortably in first position. She hadn't said one word to me since our run-in at the mall, and I didn't expect her to.
She don't say much, does she?
Shannon whispered behind Megan.
I wouldn't either,
Megan mumbled, without glancing in my direction, just as another girl bumped into their conversation with a sly grin.
But you heard what Ms. Manis said, so leave her be.
You think she knows yet? Megan shoots her a look.
Hey, why was Michael asking you about her the other day?
Megan's head snapped back. Drop it, Kit Kat.
What? What'd I say?
I said drop it. She growled.
Dang. What's up with you?
When class ended, I raced to the locker room to change before the girls had time to join me. I slipped on my sneakers with my coat in hand and ran out into the lobby, where Megan stood waiting by the elevators.
We need to talk, she said. Her voice clipped.
I swallowed.
Okay.
I followed her into an empty classroom in the back of the school. Music danced through the walls from next door's group 4 lesson, loud enough that no one would be able to hear her whoop my ass for staring at her boyfriend.
I gotta ask you something, Megan said, locking the door and leaning against it.
I stepped back a few paces, putting space between us.
Okay.
She crossed her arms and took a deep breath. The other day at the mall, did you tell anyone you saw me there?
I blinked, unsure if I heard her right.
No. She nodded. Good. Don't. Her words jabbed at my stomach, and I took another step back.
Why you asking?
She rolled her eyes and sighed.
'Cause I told my mom I was taking an extra solo lesson, so she wouldn't know I was with Cam.
I blinked again before a giggle burst from my lips, quickly becoming a full-fledged laugh.
What's so funny?
Well, why would you go to the mall to sneak around with your boyfriend? She chuckled.
Yeah, I know. It was dumb.
I guess 'cause the only other place to hang out is in his car or at his house. And I just wanted to go somewhere and be a regular couple for once.
Well, don't worry. I won't tell anyone.
Michael's the one you probably gotta worry about. He knows everybody.
The corner of Megan's lips crept up into a smirk.
Trust me, I found a way to shut Michael up. I ain't worried about him.
1 year before, the before.
Monday had tasted the sweetness of popularity and craved its high. Every day she attempted to talk to someone new, to be seen, to stand out. Every day her head spun with ideas on how to win back the spotlight. With the braid business over and Jacob giving her death stares in the hallway, she had to come up with something new, something big and exciting.
I think I want to dye my hair, she announced as we walked into the library.
Huh, really? Your mom is going to let you do that?
She won't even care, she said, dropping her book bag by our table.
Dang, Ma would never let me. She'd kill me for even asking.
Monday's face tensed.
her pupils shrinking, the way Maz did after coming home from the eye doctor. She sat motionless, millions of miles away.
"Well, what color are you going to get?"
I asked, calling her back to Earth. It took her a moment to land, but when she did, her lips curved into a smirk.
"Blonde."
"Blonde? Now I know you, Luncheon. You ain't got no business with white people hair. Not like white people blonde. More like Beyonce blonde. And I'm gonna straighten it, but with curls on the bottom." Monday licked her lips, thirsty for the unattainable. "There ain't no other girl in the whole school who'll be blonde like me. I'm gonna be the first." We spent the rest of the afternoon flipping through magazines and websites in the media room, searching for examples of the perfect blonde. It had to be the right shade of golden yellow with a tint of auburn. More natural, we thought. By the end of the day, I loaned her $5 to buy a box of color and a relaxer at the dollar store. That Sunday, I called before church, after, and during dinner. Each time she was busy fighting with her hair. Over 8 hours. All the website said was you weren't supposed to leave dye in for more than 20 minutes. By bedtime, I was pacing around my room, plotting how to convince Daddy to drive me over to Edboro. Monday had never relaxed her hair herself before. Mrs. Charles always brought her to some lady's house a few doors down who fixed her up in the kitchen for $20. I could count on one hand how many times she had been in that woman's house. In the morning, I waited by our lockers, frantically hoping to catch the first glimpse. I bounced on the balls of my feet, my stomach dancing. She should have done it at my house. I could have helped. Monday trickled in minutes before the bell, wearing my pink bucket hat, her eyes low and glassy, the spark in them missing. The wrinkled collar on her white shirt had a light brown ring of sweat circling the neck. Must have been too busy with her hair to worry about her clothes, I thought.
"Hey," she mumbled.
I grinned.
"Well, hurry up, let me see."
She sighed as she opened her locker to stuff her coat inside. When she slammed it shut, I almost screamed.
"Claudia?"
she asked, eyes big and uncertain.
"What color is it?"
Her hair was a violent burnt orange, her roots a rusted burgundy. Drenched in hairspray, overfried, stiff to the touch, her split end screamed for a merciful cut. It hurt just looking at her.
"It's different,"
I said, trying to keep it cool, but wishing she put that hat she'd borrowed back on. Her shoulders slumped.
"I think I messed up," she said.
"The instructions were confusing."
"Well,
you know, girls mess their hair up all the time. It's nothing."
"Really?"
She looked doubtful, touching the crispy tips of her hair. The second bell rang, and I looped our arms, heading for homeroom.
"Yeah,
and Ma dyes her hair herself. Maybe she can help fix it." Monday struggled out of breath, as if using her lungs for the first time that day.
"Okay."
"Go home. Run out the back door," I should have said, if only to save her. But instead, I walked into Ms. Valenti's classroom first, Monday close on my tail.
"Morning, ladies," Miss Valenti struggled to compose her shock.
A dead silence surrounded us as Monday slipped into her seat. I mean, you could hear a pin drop, every eyeball glued to the fire on her head. She cleared her throat and opened her notebook as if she didn't notice. I clenched my teeth and closed my eyes, knowing what was bound to happen in 3, 2, 1.
"Yo, what the fuck happened to your hair?" Trevor screamed.
The class erupted into laughter.
"Guys, knock it off," Ms. Valenti warned.
"But look at her hair."
"You need to stop worrying about her hair and start worrying about your grades,"
And your hairline.
Oh, Miss Valenti joning on you, cuz.
Screams of laughter echoed into the halls.
Well, it ain't my fault she come to school looking like a Muppet,
Trevor heckled, pointing at Monday. Monday's bottom lip trembled. She turned, staring at Jacob sitting in the back of the class. A stoic face, he didn't even blink. Monday leaped up and ran out the room. I glared back at Jacob, his lips curling into a satisfied grin.
Miss Valenti!
I pleaded, my voice cracking. She nodded solemnly, and I took off.
Monday, wait!
I called in the hallway, racing after her. She sprinted faster, her long legs carrying her away from me, and I pushed my legs harder to catch up. She made a left into the bathroom, straight into the larger stall, locking herself in.
Monday!
I wheezed and knocked softly.
Monday, come on out. It's just me.
No, I can't, she cried.
God, I'm so stupid.
No, you're not, I said, leaning my head against the door. Open up, please. Silence. Monday, open the door. I jerked the handle. More silence.
Fine.
I dropped down to the floor, lying on my stomach, and shimmied under the door.
Claudia, you crazy? Crawling on this dirty-ass floor.
Hunched over on all fours, I looked up at her. Monday stared down at me, wild-eyed, then busted out laughing, wiping the tears off her face.
Straight luncheon, she cackled between sniffs.
Me? You the one got me chasing you down hallways and breaking into bathrooms like the popo, I grumbled. And you know my pressure is bad. She sighed, her smile fading, leaning against the wall, sliding down like a fallen leaf on the floor next to me. Side by side, just like in our tent, we sat in silence as she twisted a strand of hair between her fingers. He told me that I would look real pretty if I was a blonde. How sexy I would be if I looked like Beyonce. That he would want to be with me for real if I looked like her.
Who? Who told you that?
Monday buried her face in her hands and breathed his name.
Jacob. You talking to him again? Why didn't you tell me?
I guess I wanted it to be a surprise. But I screwed it all up.
This ain't your fault.
Her face crumbled.
No, Claudia. It's all my fault. Everything is my fault. Everything. I just thought if we were together, things would be better, but...
Better? What are you talking about? She struggled to talk. A story stuck inside her, but nothing came out. I couldn't believe it. They broke her, plucked her out of our bubble, and crushed the life out of her. Her body bent before she leaned over, head falling into my lap, sobbing softly. I stroked her hair, like petting a puppy. Jacob tricked her into messing up her hair. Everything that had happened to us over the last few months was because of Jacob. Why couldn't she see that? Love really does make you stupid.
Forget about Jacob, okay?
Forget about all them Bamas. After next year, we're gonna go to Banneker. We're gonna be on the dance team, and they ain't gonna be shit. Until we out of here, it'll just be me and you from now on. Okay? Monday opened her bloodshot eyes, looking up at me.
Yeah. Just me and you.
She sniffled, wiping her wet face on my skirt.
Ew, did you just blow your snot on me?
Yep. She chuckled, a smile breaking through her tears.
Nasty ass.
I laughed.
I can't believe you just...
A bright flash bounced off her eyes, forcing her to squint them shut.
Ah, what the hell?
My head snapped up quick, but there was nothing. We hopped out of the stall, only to find us alone in the bathroom.
What was that?
Monday asked, opening every stall to double-check.
It was like a camera flash.
Monday peered out the gated window by the sinks.
Could it have come from outside?
Lightning? I swallowed an uneasy breath and glanced up at the ceiling.
Maybe one of the lights blew out?
We locked eyes, sharing that same prickling suspicion in the pit of our stomachs. Something didn't feel right. The second period bell screamed, and I yelped. Monday shuddered, backing slowly into the stall again.
I can't go out there, she whimpered, reaching up to touch her hair, as if it would burn her. I can't see him like this.
But we can't hide in here forever.
Just a little while longer,
she begged.
Please?
I sighed, walking back into the stall with her.
Okay,
one more period. The teasing and cackling went on for the rest of the week. On Friday, Ma took Monday to the hairdresser, her first time in a real salon with proper sinks, blow dryers, shampoos, and dyes, salvaging her locks without shaving them off. We spent the rest of the weekend watching YouTube videos of old go-go's, working on our dance routines, eating up Ma's beef stew and banana bread. I painted her nails a glittery silver with blush rhinestones, and she gave me 2 French braids. We were back to normal, in our bubble, where it was safe, with no clue what was in store for us on Monday morning. The before.
Hold up, hold up, hold up. Nah, man.
Dad yelled over his conga as the other instruments faded.
Let's take it from the top.
Daddy went at it, slapping his rough hands against the tight leather. It's hard to describe how go-go feels in your belly. The way the funky kaleidoscope of a keyboard, guitar, sax, drums, and cowbell makes you beat your feet like you caught the Holy Spirit. Daddy took me to Uncle Robbie's house to watch the guys practice their new set. They had a huge gig for Valentine's Day, opening for the Backyard Band and UCB at Howard Theater. Ma won't let me go to the go-go. Said it's too dangerous, but I'd give anything to be up in the chop shop. Maybe hold up a sign with my name, so they'd shout me out, like I hear on all of Daddy's old mixtapes.
Aight, fellas, let's wrap it up.
Everyone agreed and started packing. I slipped on my coat and gave Daddy a bottle of water as he wiped the sweat off his face.
Whew, thanks, sweet pea. Not the young man I used to be. These rehearsals are wiping me out.
We headed down the driveway, toward the car in silence, crunching over the hardening leftover snow that cracked like glass under our feet. The temperature dropped down to 15 degrees.
Well, that wasn't that bad,
Daddy said, patting me on the back. Getting out the house for a change.
Hey, how you like our new tune? Think your friends will like it?
I stuffed my hands in my pockets.
Kids don't really listen to stuff like that anymore, Daddy.
Daddy flinched as if I hit him.
Yeah, I know. But you still do, right?
Long as I got my number one fan, I'm winning. Besides, go-go ain't no passing trend. It's our culture. It's your roots. So I know you'll help keep it going. Kids tend to forget their roots, but roots, always the first to carry you back home.
Yeah, I guess.
I mumbled, my breath fogging.
You all right, sweet pea?
You're awfully quiet these days.
I'm okay, Daddy. Just thinking.
Oh, yeah?
I've been thinking, too.
Thinking about where you got that lump from. And who I have to kill.
I touched the red orb on my forehead
with my glove.
I told you, Daddy. I ran into a wall in gym. Don't even hurt.
Mm-hmm. Your mother